as if he had just sat down for a rest. His legs were splayed, the scuffed trainers out of sync with the portly figure of their owner. His head was cocked heavily to one side, the eyes open a slit, lips pursed. A trickle of blood had dried to a crack of dark purple running from the corner of his mouth to his chin, but the real sign of damage was the blood on the red brick of the wall, splashed liberally as if a child had flung a can of paint at it. A couple of yards from him, Paul Robbins lay on the crazy paving terrace. Don noticed the shattered hand, and could imagine how Paul had received the wound. The wound in his chest was bad, but he judged it had probably not been fatal. That had been reserved for the headshot. He moved carefully round to the far side. "Jesus," he whistled. Chilton nodded. "Not much chance of giving him the kiss of life, is there?" he said. The explosion of the gun in the confined space of the mouth had blown out most of the teeth, propelling them through the thin walls of the cheeks. But where the bullet had exited through the top and back of the skull, there was a gaping hole. It had taken the larger portion of the brain with it and slammed it in a rough fan shape on the paving stones. "How well did you know them?" Chilton asked. Don shrugged. "Reasonably. They'd been on my course for a while, and you get to know the guys quickly that way." He was being polite, tempering his opinion because he knew that Chilton had worked with both the dead men for several years. In truth, Don had found them to be a couple of no-hopers, overweight, inefficient, dim-witted, and bungling. Just the stupid sods, in fact, to walk straight into the middle of an armed gang without so much as a catapult. But no one deserved to die like this, he thought. Not even these two. He crouched down beside them and looked around. The scene of crime officer had done a thorough sweep, and everything that might be needed as evidence was circled with a thin chalk line. Principal among these items were several cartridge cases. Don asked if he might have a closer look at one of them, and the socko nodded. "Well, don't bugger up the prints, and put it back where you found it," he snapped, busy with a measuring tape, marking the distance from Colin's body to the point where he estimated the firer must have been standing. Don took a pair of gloves from his pocket and slipped one of them on. Carefully, he picked up the nearest of the cases and examined it. It was 9mm caliber, powerful enough to silence a full-grown man, especially at almost point-blank range. No wonder Colin had been flung against the wall with such force, he thought. But there was something unusual about it, and a moment later Don realized what it was. He had come across its kind only once before. Several years ago, he had been on secondment to the Sultan of Oman's army. The Sultan's quartermaster had done some shopping around on the open market for ammunition in an effort to cut costs. British ammunition had proved the most expensive, and he had finally opted for a batch of Pakistani-made rounds, both 7.62mm and 9mm. They hadn't performed as effectively or as consistently as the British-made ammunition, several of the rounds misfiring and causing stoppages owing to an insufficient charge of powder in the brass case. But they had done the job, and Pakistani ammunition had been used a great deal thereafter. Turning the cartridge cases in his fingers, Don was convinced that this was from the same source. He replaced it in its white chalk circle, where it looked as if it was about to be part of some satanic ceremony. He voiced his opinion to the socko, who grunted and said, "Right now, I couldn't give a stuff. Thanks all the same. I'll get the lads onto it back at the lab. If you're right, they'll be able to tell you the exact factory it came from, right down to the postcode." Don went into the kitchen, where Chilton was receiving a report from one of his men. He looked up as Don came in. "Nice mess, isn't it?" "That's what happens when you get in the way of a 9mm bullet or two." "Well, there's another two dead upstairs," Chilton added, shaking his head. "Right sodding bloodbath this is turning into." He led the way into the hall and up the stairs. Everywhere were signs of the intruder's recent presence. Furniture had been overturned, pictures ripped from the walls, and ornaments smashed. "It looks like my own place after the kids have had a party," Chilton said, grinning. They found the next body sprawled on the landing. It was the body of a...